Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your host, Sandra Flack.
Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That is James 1:27. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and our guest today is Sue Baird, Regional Manager of Care Portal in Pima County, Arizona. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you, Sandra. I'm thrilled to be with you this morning.
Oh, it's an honor to have you on here. We've been talking to lots of folks about Care Portal, so we're excited to continue that conversation today. But let's start with your beginning. How did you first get involved in foster care and serving children and families in crisis?
Well, it started a long, long time ago. I was just 20 years old. My husband and I had been married about a year, and we visited his aunt and uncle in California, and they were foster parents. And having been products of the 60s, so I'm telling you how old I am, we thought love could change the world, and we thought what they were doing was amazing. So we applied to become foster parents, which was pretty simple back then, and started when I was 21, he was 26.
Wow. So back then it was simple, not really much formal training.
Not really. We knew the director of child welfare. She knew our families. And so if there was a formal process, I'll say I don't remember it. I know we definitely didn't go through any training. Yeah. They just approved us and brought us some children, and we went from there.
Wow. How many years did you foster?
We actually actively fostered for about 8 years. And at that point decided, just because of the children we had in our home, that God was saying, focus on them and try and give them the best life possible. And so that season ended when we were about in our early 30s. And then it was interesting because within the last 5 or so years, God has kind of brought me back around, and I'll be 70 next year. So it's been a while, and but still have a heart and passion for this area.
And from there, you and your husband got involved in international missions, and that kind
Correct.
Of opened your eyes to the global orphan situation.
Right, yes. And the majority of our ministry, we were involved with international missions, as you said, and worked with orphanages in Romania in the early 90s, in China, in Sudan, all over the world. God is, orphans has been part of his assignment in our lives.
Wow, that's incredible. And then at what point did you hear about Care Portal?
Well, I am a member of the Christian Alliance for Orphans, and so I was blessed to, in 2015, to go to their annual summit, which was in Nashville that year, and I saw a little booth kind of off to the side and a man in it named Adrian Lewis, who I believe you have interviewed. And he was just getting Care Portal started. They had launched in Missouri, Kansas, and Texas, I think, about 2 months before then. And he had this booth explaining what they were going to do. And because I had become involved in the Tucson area where we live with the foster care system here and helping in some different ways, I knew that we had a crisis. And I said, we need this in Arizona. And he said, well, you know, we need to find places where the state is willing to work with the church. And as it happened, because of relationships I already had, I knew that in our county, the state was very willing to work with the church.
Wow. So you were sort of actively working in, had connections in child welfare, so that opened
Right.
some doors.
Right, it did. I was working in our church to develop a foster adopt ministry, and so because of that had made connections with child welfare. And then I was also on what they call the Foster Care Review Board here, which is something that it's a panel that works alongside judges to help them review cases and just see if they're moving forward in the way that's most beneficial for the child.
So tell us about, I know you had shared this story with me, which I thought was incredible, that DCS had released a video asking churches for help.
Yes, this was in 2015, and that was probably, I think, the year of highest crisis here. The Arizona child welfare system statewide had gone from less than 10,000 children in care in 2008, 2009, when the housing crisis really hit the state full force. And by 2015, there were just over 19,000 children in care. So you can imagine in that short period of time having almost doubled the number of children in the foster care system. So we were in crisis, and the state was doing their best to meet the crisis, but they had come to a point, and particularly here in our county, Pima County, they really realized that this is not just a state problem. This is the problem the community should be helping. And the church, as part of the community, they reached out to the church, put a video on YouTube. Just the director here put out a video on YouTube asking the church to help. And they, at that time, didn't even know what they wanted help with. But one of the most amazing things, I mean, they named some ideas and things, but they said to the church, "We need your prayer." And when God led me to that supernaturally. Nobody told me about it. He just kind of popped it in my email box one day, and I watched it, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And that actually started my relationship with the people at the highest level of administration here in our county.
Wow, incredible. God definitely positions people and makes those connections to accomplish his purposes.
He does indeed.
Yeah. So explain for our listeners, Sue, we were talking about Care Portal. What exactly is Care Portal and how does it work?
Well, Care Portal is really just a technology platform, and it's a way to directly connect churches to vulnerable children and their family, and generally that starts through the state child welfare system. So what happens is a child welfare worker identifies a need of a particular child or their family. They can go to their computer, enter that need into the computer if their state and county isn't enrolled with us, and then they choose, we have chosen a geo radius of how far that need's going to go, and it's sent out, say, to churches within a 5-mile radius of that family or 10-mile radius, depends kind of on the location in the area, what size radius it goes out to. But churches receive an email, and our ask to them is, are you willing to receive an email? And if they are, they have a point person who gets this email, and they decide, is this something our church wants to try and help with, can help with? And if so, they take steps then to put it out to their congregation, and it goes from there. If they can meet the need, they do. If they can't meet the need, there's nothing else to be done. They hopefully read the email and pray for the family, and that's all there is to it. It's not a huge ask.
Yeah, it's not like you're signing on to meet a minimum number of requests in a certain amount of time. It's really, if you want to open that email, fine. If you want to meet the need, wonderful, respond. But at the very least, just pray for this family in crisis. So
absolutely,
it's an incredible way to connect the church with real vetted needs right within their own community. So we at Justice for Orphans will be launching Care Portal here in upstate New York this fall, beginning in Schenectady County and hopefully Albany County as well. So, Sue, how many counties in Arizona is Care Portal currently active in?
We're currently active in 3 counties. Now, you have to keep in mind, our counties out here are huge. Both Pima County, where Tucson is, and Maricopa County, where Phoenix is, are over 9,000 square miles each.
Wow.
So they're big. And we have our 3rd county is Yuma County. So we're hopefully have a plan, hopefully within the year, that the entire state will be activated. But that's up to God, of course.
Yeah, incredible. Huge counties out there.
They are.
So how many churches are serving in each of those counties?
Well, in Arizona right now, totally, we have 108 churches involved. Here in Pima County, I have 39. And we have approximately 500 churches, it's estimated. One of the things that is also kind of unique to Arizona is we have a much less church population than many parts of the country, like the Bible Belt and so forth. But of the churches that we have involved, my goal is to have at least 100 to 150 churches involved, because the idea is not for one church to do everything,
right.
but for each church to do a little.
Yeah. Everybody doing one small piece really right. contributes to this whole. So, Sue, can you share some stories about how Care Portal has successfully served vulnerable children and families there in Arizona?
Oh, I would be thrilled to. We've been so blessed here. I think we've actually helped over 3,400 children now. And one of my favorite early stories from, this is a big request that was met. They normally are much, much smaller, but I want to share it with you because it is so special to see how God puts everything together. We were just launching about 2 years ago, and a request came through for an aunt who wanted to adopt four small children. And she was a single woman, lived by kind of the Dave Ramsey principle of not going in debt. And so she had a small car, and one of the things that was holding her back from being approved as an adoptive placement for these children was the fact that she didn't have a car big enough to safely transport all the children in car seats in the back part of her car. And so the request came to Care Portal for this potential adoptive aunt that she needed a van or something, and could anybody help? Well, the following week, we were launching Care Portal at a new church, and I happened to be there when an elderly woman came up to the little table that we had explaining Care Portal, and she said, "Do you all need a car?" She said, "Because I'm moving into assisted living, and I feel like God's telling me I'm just supposed to give my car to somebody." And so we're like, "Oh, my goodness." So what happened is the point person from that church was able to, the woman donated her car to the church, and then they transferred the title, I believe, to the mom, and then took her original car plus the one that had been donated, and he helped her trade it in debt-free for a van that would carry all the children. So that was just, I mean, it took them one step further down to making a permanent family for those children. So
that
was
wonderful.
A big need. But then let me share a small one as well.
Yeah.
Because one of the things I'm totally convinced of is that Care Portal is as much for us, the church, as it is for the families we're helping. And the way I see that is simply played out here. We have a small church that's involved probably a congregation definitely of less than 100 people, many of them older. And the point person from their church is an amazing 83-year-old woman.
Oh, wow.
And she has a passion for this area and a passion for Jesus. And that's all you need, really. And so Emily is her name, and she recently responded on behalf of their church to a single dad that was taking he already had his daughter, and he was taking his wife's child, who the mother was no longer able to be in the home because of life issues she had. So he was taking this basically unrelated child, formerly a stepdaughter of his, and he needed a dresser for this new little one that was coming into the home. So Emily responded that their church could provide this. So how Emily gets things like this done, because at 83, it's not easy for her to deliver a dresser, but she involves the young people in her congregation. So she had a 17-year-old, I believe, young man that was kind of her sidekick and help for things like this. And she took him with her on the delivery. And I think between the dad and the young man, they got the dresser delivered. And what she told me is how impactful it was to this young man that went with her, not only to see that they were helping someone, but also in looking at his own life, which he wasn't, their church is from kind of a poorer area, and so he doesn't have a lot of material things, but it was like taking him on a short-term mission trip in his own community, really.
Wow.
So I just love that, you know, there's so many discipleship opportunities for a church that wants to help their people grow in this way.
Wow, that is incredible. I love those stories. And what about the impact Care Portal has had in Arizona and the foster care system in general?
Well, in general now, as I think I said, we've served, as of yesterday when I checked the figures, 3,443 children. That would be statewide. 108 churches are involved. And what they estimate the economic impact conservatively to be about $1.14 million.
Wow.
And that would have been, we launched here in December of 2015, so in about 2.5 years. That's what we've been able to do so far. And I know we've only just begun.
And that is incredible. And so people understand that this technology platform really keeps track of the dollar amount. That's why we can have those numbers of the economic impact, because it keeps track of whether it was a used, you know, bed frame or a brand new set of bunk beds. However, those needs are met, there's a dollar amount assigned to it. So the impact can be tracked. So not only can, you know, churches can know their impact that they're having in their own community and the foster care.
Right, we can actually check it per church to see, you know, you've met this many needs, it's been this much economic value. And I would add that things can be used. The only thing in our county that we ask be new are pillows and car seats.
Yes.
Because they expire. I didn't know that until I got involved here. But one of the things that's really amazing about Care Portal also, and that goes into this figure of economic impact, is the value of, let's say we're working on a request that has to do with prevention or trying to keep from having to take the children into care, that we're able to estimate what the cost of 1 week of keeping children out of the foster care system would be. Mm. And of course, those of us who have worked in it know that generally if a child's brought into care, they stay much longer than that. But that those kind of figures are also plugged in where appropriate and go into that total figure. So the state is saving money through what's being done, but it's not all, you know, many congregations, people have things that they're not using that are things these families could use.
Right. So, and that's really, we call these tier one needs when things like car seats or beds or dressers are provided. But there's really three tiers. We talk about three tiers of engagement for the church. Can you explain for us what those three tiers are?
Absolutely. First, I kind of want to talk about, before explaining the depth of tiers, about the breadth of what we do, because we work from prevention through foster care, adoption, and also what's called transition, or children aging out of the foster care system. So here in Pima County, about 40%+ of the work that we're doing is on the prevention side. So when we get a request to help with something, it's often for a family that's in under investigation, and the caseworker sees some things that would strengthen that family, and so then they put a request into Care Portal for that. And so that's a large part of what we do. Obviously, foster care, I think, is pretty obvious, although we focus primarily on the kinship families. Many, many aunts, uncles, grandparents, even great-grandparents are taking their children. They're not licensed foster parents. They receive very little money for caring for these children. So these things are often needed for them. And then I gave you an example on the adoption side. The transition side, oftentimes we get requests to help a young person who's aging out of the foster care system and maybe setting up their first apartment to help them. So the tiers that you asked about, though, we look at it in three ways. The first, and I call this, you know, putting your feet in the shallow end of the pool. It doesn't take a lot of commitment, or it's not terribly scary to do this part, and that's helping meet a physical need. So as I said, maybe it would be a bed or a crib or that type of thing. So you and the church, as you may know, they have a team, and they deliver directly to the families, unless for some reason the caseworker doesn't want that to happen. But generally, we're able to go and deliver directly to this family and make a connection with them. And often, many of these families living in deep poverty, the poverty that they have is not just material, but it's relational. So having a connection with a church that cares and someone that maybe is the only person that might be praying for them, it's very powerful. So we do meeting physical needs on tier one. Tier two is what we call relational needs. And here in Pima County, we're just launching that. We've tried several initiatives and we're still kind of finding our way with it. But it would include some things like perhaps connecting a child in foster care with a tutor, because as you know, when they change schools, oftentimes they really lose ground educationally. Perhaps it would be connecting them with a mentor or doing babysitting for foster parents so they can have a parents' night out, that type of thing. And then the third tier is what we call becoming home. And obviously that's becoming a foster parent, an adoptive parent. Maybe on the transition side, it might be something as like getting a relationship going, which could have started in tier one as you were helping a young person furnish their apartment, but a relationship that says to that young person who may not have many other, if any, family connections, you're welcome here on Christmas. Come and celebrate your birthday with us. So it's not having someone physically move in with you, but becoming that person in their life that, if you remember being 18 as I do, you didn't know everything. Even though you thought you did, you really didn't know everything. And so having someone that can be counsel and just supportive to that young adult. So that would be kind of the tier three part of Care Portal.
So all churches basically start at tier one, like you said, the getting your feet in the shallow end of the pool there, by meeting needs, by providing goods such as car seats, beds, maybe helping pay a fuel bill. But it's really more than delivering stuff, right? So share your thoughts, Sue, on that.
It is so much more than delivering stuff. And we kind of made a mistake here early on of talking about we're making a delivery. We're making, you know, I'm going to go deliver this to someone. And Adrian, our founder, said one time, and I just loved it because it's so true, UPS and FedEx make deliveries. The church makes connections. And so that is really what we're trying to kind of retrain ourselves to think in that terms. It's not just about dropping something off. And because we don't take any funding from the state, we're not contracted with the state, here in Arizona, we are completely, and I think it's the case in most all the states, we're free to, when we deliver the items to a family, ask them if it's okay to pray with them. They always, I mean, very, very rarely have I heard of anyone refusing prayer. And it's amazing after praying with a family at the end of a delivery connection to see the tears in their eyes and say, thank you, you know, we so appreciate that. We're free to invite them to church. Emily, that I was telling you about, just, or no, another point person rather, just recently invited a family to their VBS that's going to be happening at the end of July. And the mom was excited, and they have a child with special needs, and said, you know, we had to quit going to church because she couldn't always control her behavior. And so just to have that church say, hey, we want you to come.
Wow.
That was so precious to me. So it's all about making connections. And just like Jesus did, he met the physical needs that people had, but he wasn't there just to heal or just to feed. He was there to connect them to himself. And that's what my prayer is we would do as well.
Yeah, and this is an arena that the church used to own, right? Child
yes.
welfare and caring for the needs of vulnerable children, and kind of abdicated over to the state. But really, This is the heart of God.
Yes. And I feel passionately, I love the church. I mean, the church is like so precious to me. And we're a bride that still has spots and wrinkles, but the church is God's plan for meeting all the needs of society. And so I really see that this is giving us a tangible way to step back in that the state also sees as beneficial. And I believe that God's plan is to have the church fully reengaged in this area that, as I understand and read the histories of it, we pretty much, during the Great Depression, the state said, we'll help, and the churches at that time barely being able sometimes to feed their own families. They said, okay, you do it, and we've kind of lost 80-100 years.
Wow. But we can reclaim those, right? Redemption.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Sue, as we wrap up here, what is on your heart that you want to be sure our listeners hear today from our conversation?
I would say the probably number one thing on my heart is to realize that each one of us can do something, whether you are 16 or 85, there is something you can do. And I believe something God wants to bless you by letting you do that. And I say that because, again, I feel that this is as much for us as it is for the families we're serving. So everyone could pray if they would. You can help mobilize other people into this area. I would suggest anybody go out and explore the website, which is careportal.org, and see what's happening, and you can look at open requests. It'll give you an idea of type of things that are being asked for around the nation. You might be a thrift store shopper for your church. Some churches will set up a fund where, you know, people can donate money to that, and then that gives the Care Portal team funds to go out and do garage sailing, thrift store shopping. So if that's something you'd love to do, that's a way. Maybe you're going to be on the team that makes the connection and the delivery. Maybe you're going to be part of a follow-up team, a prayer team in the past. So another important thing would be to talk with your pastor and help him or her connect with the Care Portal network you're building there.
Incredible. Thank you, Sue, so much for all you are doing on behalf of children and families in crisis there in Arizona. And thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you for having me.
It was an honor. And you can learn more about Care Portal by finding them online, as Sue mentioned, at careportal.org. And for information about Justice for Orphans launching Care Portal here in the Capital District, you can check out our website at justicefororphansny.org. Thank you for listening to this episode of Orphans No More. You can find more shows on our website or wherever you listen to podcasts. JFO is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls them, be it adoption, foster care, or maybe even just getting your feet into the shallow end of the pool and starting with Care Portal. We're looking for churches in Albany and Schenectady counties to partner with us as we launch Care Portal this fall. To learn more, visit justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.